If you wish.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Great big warm welcome to each and every person here and anyone who's visiting our church today. It is wonderful to see you. And I know that each and every one of us by being here will be richly blessed. Especially Diana Satchwell. She's... Which one? It is Diana Satchwell, isn't it? It is. Diana Satchwell, 39 today. Happy birthday to Diana. And just before I ask my learned friend here to come forward, I just want to make a brief mention to the activities that took place here on Friday evening. And I would like to, I was going to say, offer a big thank you, but an earnest thank you to everyone who participated in our evening. So many people pitched in and helped in so many different ways that, you know, I'm not going to start trying to go through all the names. But there is one name that sticks in my mind, and that is the name Lady Bracknell. And I should like Lady Bracknell to come forward just for a brief moment, right now. And indeed, and I say I include Dale in all of that because I know he does so much work behind the scenes and in putting these things together. We had a great evening. We had great food. We had good fellowship, and we just enjoyed ourselves. So thank you to everyone concerned. It's nice to see Fred with us. He came here and he went out east, and then he's been up north for a while, and very shortly he's be heading back out east again. Good to see you, Fred. Really good to have you with us, and it's good to have everyone here. Dave, to you, sir.
Good morning. Mustard seed this Wednesday on the 18th. There's lots of burgers in the freezer for soup. And it says the youth group is serving. Next Sunday is the church anniversary. It'll be membership and communion that day. Bible study group meets in the kitchen on Thursday mornings. Pancake Tuesday supper is February 24th from 5 to 7. February 25th is Ash Wednesday, and there's a service at 7 p.m. And I also have an announcement here. Friday, March 6th, is the World Day of Prayer. And at the Cremona United Church, there'll be a guest speaker. Bethany Lewandyke will be speaking. The time will be announced later. We're not sure the time. We think it's in the afternoon, but we'll let you know next week, I guess. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 30, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name. His anger is but for a moment. His favour is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning." We worship the Lord with our approach choruses, and Kathy and Marianne will lead us in those choruses. Thank you.
morning, everybody. Please stand. We're going to start with His Name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Marion. You are teaching us new works here. Thank you. Beautiful. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us this morning has heard your voice when you have called us in the different ways that you used to speak to us, Lord. You have called us, each and every one, to be here together in this your house on this your day. And we are thankful to be here, Lord, because each of us, our hearts are just overflowing with thanksgiving. We look around us and we see a beautiful world. We look around us, Lord, and we can see you in all of the creations, in everything that you have made. And we are constantly reminded, Lord, that this is your world. And as the seasons change, Every year with regularity we are reminded that everything works, Lord, because it is your world. And so we come this day, gracious Father, to worship you. We seek to bring honour and glory to the name of Jesus. We seek your precious word, Lord, in all that we do in this time of worship. And so we ask you, Father, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will speak to each of us, because we know, Lord, that you have something to say to each and every one of us. Accept the praise we bring, Lord, for we come in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Dad.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Now, Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you can cure him of leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elijah, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Now Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call the name of his God, Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And the responsive reading. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name. When I felt secure, I said, "I will never be shaken." To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help.
Are you going to talk to me? Or?
We got here today and we realized we were supposed to do the special music. So we don't have anything today. Dave just told me he had a guitar for me, but it could be awkward, so I don't want to do that to you guys. And I just wanted to apologize to everyone.
Nicole and Michelle, when they came in this morning, they explained this dilemma to me, and then they started thinking, but maybe we could do something, but one's got a sore throat and one hasn't got the guitar. And I said, well, just beforehand, I'll look at you and you either nod or shake your head. But we appreciate that fact. But anyway, your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. You continue to shower down blessings upon us, no matter what. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. And we ask you, Father, to accept the gifts and accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. If the children would like to come and join me, please.
Who knows what this is? Can anyone read? Give me what it says. This is the bit here that says what it is. I haven't got the French side of it, no. Anybody know what it is? Well, it's a kind of a medicine, but you don't drink this medicine down. It's called calamine lotion. You know what it is? Yeah. Do you know what you use it for? Any idea? Sorry?
For your hands?
Well, no, it's not really for your hands. You might have to put it in your hands at some time, but anybody ever had the chicken pox? Probably don't know what it is, do you? Maybe I should ask your parents if any of you have ever had the chicken pox. Well, the chicken pox, it starts off like a cold. You get a runny nose. And then you start to feel hot and sweaty and you get a fever. And when all of these things, you feel awful. You feel lousy. And then all of a sudden, you get covered in big red lumps all over your body. And they are so itchy. Have you ever had any itchy lumps on your body? And you want to scratch and scratch and scratch. Oh, it's terrible. But it's not, it feels awful at the time, but it's not hopeless because it can get fixed because we take this stuff here called calamine lotion and we shake it up and we take the top off and we get some cotton wool and we put some of this on the cotton wool and we dab it on all of these red lumps and sores and it takes the itch away. Oh! And then your chicken pox go away. Eventually you do, you get better. And that's great. But you know, when Jesus was alive, if anybody had any kind of a skin disease, and it might just be chicken pox, everybody thought it was leprosy. And leprosy was something that was horrible. Oh, it was the most horrible disease, and your skin would eat it. Oh, we won't talk about it. It was awful. But eventually, people would die. And when they got leprosy, they weren't allowed to live with other people. They were sent to live outside of the town and they dug big pits in the ground and they had to live in these pits. And if they came near people, people would throw stones at them to get them away because everybody was frightened of getting leprosy. But there was one person who didn't drive them away. Now then, who do you think that was? Jesus. Jesus, there was a leper one day and he had all sores and he came into town and he'd heard about Jesus and he thought, he believed that Jesus could make him better. Nobody else could, but he thought Jesus could. So he went to Jesus and he said to Jesus, if you want to, you can make me better. You know what Jesus said to him? I do want to. Nobody ever touched a leper. Now, you know what Jesus did next, don't you? He reached out his hand, and he... What did he do? He touched him. And guess what happened to the man's leprosy? It was gone. He was better. It made him better. So, if you get the chicken pox, you will get better. You will get better. It's not hopeless. But if ever... in your life, and this is to all you kids, if ever you're in a situation where everything seems hopeless, there is one person who can and will help. But we need to ask him, if you want to, Lord Jesus, you can make me well. And Jesus will respond, I want to. I want to. Okay? So let's say a little prayer about that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us so much that no matter how hopeless we might seem, you will always reach out and love us and touch us and make us well. And we thank you for that. Amen. Thank you.
I know one you could sing, Kathy. You're gonna need a notion. Da, 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 da. Calamine lotion. Can someone help Kathy back to her seat?
I wore my spring shoes.
And so now we stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 92, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. I'm sure that many of you will have been quite impressed by the people on the platform this morning. It appears as if we have all of the words to all the hymns and everything in our heads, but it's not true, alas. Thanks to Grant and Dave and Phil, we now have another projector up at the back there, and it projects the image onto the back wall. And see, there we are, it's right there. And so the people on the platform now have the same benefits as you have of the words up on the wall. And I appreciate my technical manager, Grant, and his worthy assistants. I know David was involved and Phil was involved, and it's just great. It's kind of magic, isn't it, that we have all of these wonderful things. And it's like everything else, it's things to be thankful for. There are lots of our things in our lives to be thankful for, and there are so many things that we take for granted. We take so much for granted. It was a great joy this morning to see Darren walk into church. And I know, not just for me, but for all of us, because we know that he's had a tough time and he's been in everyone's prayers. And prayers get answered, and sometimes it takes a while and sometimes it's gradual, but they get answered. And it's good to see Darren with us. Welcome, Darren. Really good to see you. And I know you'll all smother him afterwards and all that kind of good stuff. But we have so much to be thankful for. And we look around us and let's not take everything for granted. Let us thank the Lord and praise Him, because the Lord is good to us. He is merciful. And let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We are thankful for the knowledge that you love us. And no gift of yours could be greater than the gift of your love through our Lord Jesus. Through him you have revealed your love to us, and through him you grant us the means of salvation. And so we come to you now, Lord, as that leper came to you, longing to be clean, longing for healing in our lives, and longing to be fully reconciled with you and with one another. Lord Jesus, we seek your peace and we seek your assurance, and we ask that you touch us. Touch us throughout this service, Lord. Touch us throughout our daily living, and make us and keep us whole. Loving Lord, help us to proclaim in word and deed your healing and your cleansing love. Help us to see your image in the faces of those whom society regards as outcasts. And help us, Father, in all circumstances to reach out to those whom society does outcast. In your name, Lord, help us to recognize and embrace those who are lonely, those who live in fear and despair, and those who believe that they are no longer worthy of the loving care and attention of other people. Grant us the courage, Lord, to speak your words to those who cause pain, to those who reject, and to those who seek only their own good. Lord, we ask you again to touch our world and make it whole. And Father, we seek cleansing and healing, not only for ourselves, but especially for those people whom you have placed upon our hearts to care about and to pray for. And we all know people, Lord, who have such a great need of you in their lives at this time. And so here in the silence and in the beauty of holiness, we whisper their names before your throne of grace. And we ask you, Lord, in your mercy and compassion, to hear these, our silent prayers. Almighty God, gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. We thank you for the ways that you provide for us, for the spiritual nourishment we receive as we gather in this place, as this fellowship of your church family. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless each and every one of us. We ask you to bless every home represented here. We ask you, Father, to grant your guidance and protection to our homes and our families. And may we be faithful channels of your blessing to all whom we meet, as we seek to bring honour and glory to the holy name of Jesus. Lord, touch our lives. Lord, hear our prayers and accept the worship and the praise that we bring. For we come and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning. If Ian hadn't said anything, I think I could have got away with it up here. But the gospel reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. The epistle reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into a strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it to my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize."
And I was going to tell everyone you memorized it. We stand and we sing to the glory of God that beautiful hymn, "He Touched Me." Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder how many of you here this morning have in the past week travelled on any form of public transport. You know, we're talking planes, trains, buses, taxis, sea trains, etc., etc. Show of hands. Public transport of any kind. Not many. Okay. How many of you in the past week have entered a public building of any kind where you had to push or pull or open a door? Show of hands. We're getting there. How many of you have recently ridden on an escalator, taken a public stairway, held a handrail of any kind, or for the gentleman, pushed a grocery cart? Yeah, all of us, I think. I think we've just about covered everybody now. At some stage, we all had our hands up there. All of these actions, just normal, everyday living, put you up close and personal with the same thing. Dirt. Germs, microbes, bacteria, or the stuff that might make you really sick. Before the geniuses, the genii, or however you say it, the plural of genius, before the geniuses of the medical profession figured out that it is bacteria that causes all of this sickness and viruses, getting sick was a very scary and unknown and unexpected event. Who got sick? Why they got sick? Why they got well or why they didn't get well? It was a mystery. Nobody knew. And in the earlier days, the only way to ward off infectious diseases was by isolation. And we do this today. When our kids get sick, we keep them away from school. When we're not feeling too well ourselves, we stay home from our work. We also isolate ourselves through the wonder of chemicals. How many of you have got these things around your house or your workplace? Yeah, lots of you. Hey, and what about this stuff here? Purell, okay? How many of you ladies have got one of those little ones in your purse? See them all over the place, don't you? All of these things that we whenever we feel under any kind of germicidal attack, we use all of these things. There's tons of products, antibacterial, this, that and the other. Living in a society that is so germ-conscious, where we surround ourselves with so many of the bacterial isolationist products, why are we still so germy? How come? How do we catch anything when we protect ourselves so well? Environmental scientists are now beginning to admit that it seems the more we try to isolate ourselves from bugs and bodies and germs and germies, the more we end up making ourselves even more susceptible to them. And there are now some paediatricians who are actually recommending that parents allow their kids to get into the dirt regularly. So, parents, when you see your precious playing in the kitty litter, eating the dog's food, we haven't to be too quick to jump on them and protect them and pull them back. Apparently, they need to get down and dirty. They need to build up their resistance to all that would assail them. We are susceptible to germs because too many antibiotics for sniffles and sore throats, too many hermetically sealed households that don't allow air in and don't let air out, and too many antibacterial and antimicrobial and anti-allergenic substances. All of these, apparently, super-sanitizing substances are making us easy prey for the bugs and the viruses that are around. We are a really health-conscious society. And we really are quite healthy until one single solitary stray bad bug gets past our defences. It only needs one, and suddenly our immune system that has been coddled and protected and kept clean and pristine encounters a real live bad guy. It seems that without a stockpile of immune responses to draw upon, without any kickback reflexes of a body that has regularly come under assault and learned to fight back against the day-to-day germy stuff, it seems that we have little or no response. So what does all this mean? Is it time for us to get down and dirty again? Instead of isolating ourselves from everything we consider to be dirty, should we consider the risk of mud on our knees and grime and dirt under our fingernails? Should we be exposing both our bodies and our spirits to the dirt that we fear most in order that we might grow stronger? In 2 Kings chapter 5, that Dale read to us, we have this man named Naaman, and he is a commander in the army of the enemies of the Jewish nation. But he's also a child of God, and he has leprosy. And we hear how God reached out to him, and how he, Naaman, grudgingly obeyed God, and then he was healed. Grudgingly he obeyed, but when he did obey, he was healed. Then in the reading from St. Mark, we meet another man who was also a leper. But this man doesn't come grudgingly, he comes willing to Jesus, willingly. And in faith, in great faith, he says to Jesus, "You can heal me if you want to. You can heal me if you want to." In biblical times, all that they knew about leprosy was what it looked like and what it did to a person, especially in those advanced stages. It maimed people, it disfigured people, and that was enough for fear to take over. You just looked at a person like this and they were terrified of them. They were terrified to go near them. Now we live in a world where this disease has all but been eradicated. It only crops up in very spasmodic parts of the world, and not for long. So we cannot really appreciate the fear that accompanied the word leprosy in that ancient world. Leprosy was one of those red flag words. Go for cover, get out of the way. It brought about the same responses as did the word plague in the 1200s. Smallpox in the 1700s. Or AIDS in the 1900s. It frightened people. They felt helpless against it. They felt that they had no defense. And we all know what happens when fear takes over. People do not act, they react. And the reactions to leprosy in those days were swift and they were cruel. It's hard to believe it, but some people put their own family members to death. That's how much they feared it. Or incredibly, huge pits would be dug outside of the large cities. And in these pits, the lepers were forced to live. They had to remain there. And if any of them did venture out of these pits, they were very quickly greeted with shouts of leper, and they would be stoned to keep them away. They were isolated from society, and by law, they were not allowed to be within 50 yards of a clean person. The horror of a disease. A lifestyle of loneliness. Isolation. Total hopelessness. Where could people, wretched people like this, find any hope for life at all? The only friend and the only hope a leper had was God. In this life, a leper was doomed. It was a walking death. And so in these two biblical accounts of lepers, we see again God's great love. his wonderful and amazing mercy and compassion for those people whom society rejects and calls outcasts. In 2 Kings 5, Naaman is the Assyrian prime minister. His wife's maid is a captured Jewish girl. And she tells him about this Jewish prophet, Elisha, who could, by God's power, cure him. But the Jews were enemies. They were at war with one another. And so, to cut a long story short, Naaman was offended when the Jewish prophet, first of all, he refused to come out of his house and speak to him face to face. Secondly, the Jewish prophet refused these lavish gifts of gold and silver and all the precious jewels. And then he sent instructions for him to go and wash himself 7 times in the dirty Israelite river of the Jordan. You can see what's happening here with Naaman. He had certain expectations of how he would be received. He was a very important man. He was a high-ranking man, and he had expectations. You know, when you go on to see the doctor, you kind of think through in your own mind, you rehearse, don't you? You sit in the waiting room rehearsing what you're going to say, and you kind of guess what the doctor might say, and then I'll say that. And I guess Naaman went through the same process before he went to see this Israelite prophet. He had expectations, but things didn't pan out per his expectations. And so his pride very nearly got in the way of him being cured of this awful disease. But fortunately for him, the wisdom and the humility of his servant prevailed. He was an outcast. He had leprosy. But he was a proud outcast. But he was also a child of God. And God loved him so much that he didn't give up on him. He continued reaching out to this man Naaman until he could get the right response that could heal this man's life. Those words, "You can heal me if you want to." These are the words that show God that you have faith in his power to cleanse your life. And Jesus responds. He responds to faith. He will do it. It's like God is saying, "Show me your faith and I will show you life. Show me your faith and I will show you life." When Naaman did eventually obey the word of God, a miracle took place. He was cleansed, he was healed, he was cured. And for God's miracles to take place, we must play our part. We cannot just expect to pray our prayer and step back and wait, because God will ask you to do something. God will expect something of you. You must respond in faith. It's what the Apostle St. Paul talked about when he says, "We are saved by faith." Saved by faith. And it's what Jesus speaks of when he says to people, "Your faith has made you whole." But he always told people to do something, to respond in some way. And when they respond, they are healed, they are cleansed. Pastor Dwayne Windermiller tells about how many years ago he was conducting a funeral for an old family physician, the old family doctor who had lived to the age of 102. I remember when I was that high and I used to get taken to the doctor, and it always seemed to me that this doctor was about 102. But at this old physician's funeral, a woman stood up during the service and she said, "Whenever we heard his old Model T Ford turning into our yard, we started to get better." They had faith in the old doctor. They knew that once he arrived, things would start to get better. And that's the way it was with Jesus. People who didn't even know Jesus personally, but they heard about him and they believed in him and they believed that this was the one who could make them well. And as soon as he came on the scene, they started to feel better. They started to get better. And so in our gospel reading, we hear of this man whose life is the life of the walking dead. He's a leper. but he believes in Jesus. Somewhere along the line he's heard about Jesus and he has faith in Jesus' healing abilities. You have the power to make me well if you want to. What a powerful statement that is to make to the Lord Jesus. A direct declaration of faith in Christ's power to heal a broken life. And it worked. Did you ever wonder what might happen in your life if you prayed that prayer? And Jesus replied, I do want to. Now you are well. And he told him what he had to do. And he obeyed. He obeyed. He did everything that Jesus told him to do. Well, everything except one thing. Jesus told him to keep his mouth shut, but he couldn't. He couldn't. Can you blame him? Suddenly, he's cured of this death sentence. And I can imagine him out turning cartwheels in the street. But Jesus said, don't tell anyone. Jesus did something to this leper that led to his ultimate expulsion from the area. He did something that offended the religious authorities to such an extent that he was eventually thrown out of town. Verse 41 says, he touched him. He touched him. The personal touch. Jesus did what no one else would dream of doing. He reached out his hand and he touched him. The ancient laws of Moses stated that anyone with a disease is unclean. And because they have a disease and they are unclean, they are a sinner. And anyone who touches a diseased person is also unclean and also a sinner. Somehow or other, that came out of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, which got multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and diversified and into all of these 600 and something laws that the Jews had. This is one of them. I can't figure out how it came out of the Ten Commandments. You can heal a leper, but you cannot touch him. I doubt whether most of us who are used to shaking hands and we're used to hugs and we're used to all of the way we reach out to one another in our churches, can we really fully appreciate the awesome power of that moment to that leper when Jesus reached out and touched him. And the healing that he experienced was not only physical, but spiritual and social. The leper's very humanity was restored. There is a law today, and I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with it, but it's the seatbelt law. There is a law which says we have to wear seatbelts. And if we disobey that law, there could be consequences. It could mean a hefty fine, or it could cost us our lives. So why do we obey that law? Is it just because it is the law? Or is it because it will save our life? Obeying God saves our life. Obeying God gives us life, gives us full life and gives us satisfying life. Obeying God gives us eternal life. The leper says to Jesus, you have the power. You have the power to make me well if you want to. And Jesus responded to that poor and wretched man's faith and he replied, I do want to. Now you are well. And he touched him. He touched him. Jesus can and Jesus will touch your life if you ask him to. And for that we say thanks be to God. Amen. And so we sing our closing hymns. First of all, we sing the hymn which instructs us to do what Jesus always told people to do. Trust and obey. We stand and sing to God's glory. about what our purpose is to be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. To be God's people.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Oh.